a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the third Thursday of May. And on the third Thursday, third or fourth, it depends on whether it is four or five Thursdays in a month, we do a segment we call Planetary Influences, where we have our astrologer from Inner Center, Rob Stewart, come on. We have our Thoughtful Thursday co-hosts from our second week of the month, Lori Powers Otto, and we discuss everything coming up with planetary influences and other astrological topics. That's what this Thursday is dedicated to once a month. If you would like to ask questions, be part of the conversation. You know, you don't make changes in the world if you don't show up. And here, you would show up on the Dr. Kevin Show by calling in 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. So first of all, welcome, Miss Lori. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, Dr. Kevin. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm so good. I think I've lost all my friends now. No one can stand me. I'm so good. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like it.
Hey, you know, there's a little, hey. You know, as I've stopped teaching classes for the summer, as I've kind of revamped my schedule, as I've let go of some commitments, and I have a little bit more wiggle room in my life, I've got the energy back to be sassy, so we know that the world is in trouble.
I love it. Love a sassy Dr. Kevin. That's all I'm going to say.
Rob, how are you this fine Thursday in May?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Dr. Kevin. Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful day here in New Hampshire. Really nice.
Yeah, I'm out walking in the woods as we do this show. Walking in the woods and hearing Neil Sedaka singing in the back of my head. So, that being said, we're going to move right along. Rob, tell us what's going on with our planetary influences. And remember, as you hear Rob talk, as he does every month about the incoming things, if you are somebody who's always said, I always wanted to have my chart done, I always understood what that meant to me, because, you know, whatever's going on in the skies hits all of us individually. You can contact Rob at innercenter.org, and you know, and Rob will be more than happy, you know, if you want to book an appointment with him to do a chart. And even in that time, I'm sure he will tell you how to, you know, listen to what he says every month so that you have more information with which to make better decisions. So, Rob, what's going on in the skies? Why are they being so mean to us?
Yeah, well, thanks, Dr. Kat. Thanks, you and Lori for having me here. This once a month sort of forecast, I guess you'd say, sort of like the astrological weatherman on the show. I really enjoy it. And the sun just entered Gemini on May 20th. It was coming from Taurus. And, you know, the function of Gemini is to give names and to classify things. It's basically to be able to put logical order to our reality. And it's often thought of as like communication or speaking. But it's also about perception and about observing and listening. And so, you know, when the sun was in Taurus, last month and up until the 20th of this month, Taurus is a yin energy. So it's about sort of bringing self back to center. It's about looking within, sort of bringing the energy within. And then with Gemini, it's an air sign. It's yang. And so it's about the energy moving out from the center. So it's the energies will sort of according to astrology, we'll be moving out a bit more. It's a time for expansion and communication. communicating about our experiences, our perceptions. And it's a type of, you know, with Gemini, there can be a plethora of opinions and information and lots and lots of information to be had. And so there's lots of this sort of left brain activity, this you know, stimulating information, different points of view. And it's a good time to be mindful of arguments that can arise from, you know, differing opinions and all the rest. And it's a really good time to observe and to simply notice and be aware and take in information as well as communicate information with others. And one of the astrologers I really like, Stephen Forrest, says that we make the most out of Gemini when we give the universe permission to not make any sense. You know, when we sort of observe things that we can't make sense out of, according to Stephen Forrest, that's when we're sort of on the right track, because we're gathering information more quickly than we can put it all together. And that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes we take the information we see and we sort of fit it into our understanding. And that's kind of putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. And so Gemini is a great time to observe, to be aware, and just see information, communicate, and being curious. And, you know, the shadow side of Gemini is that sometimes we can be forced to face sort of, you know, things we, you know, in our own life that we'd rather not see. And, you know, so Gemini, one of the shadow sides of Gemini is that we can sort of reorder things to our own liking with regards to information. So that's just one of the sort of pitfalls that can come out, as well as sort of, you know, arguments, communication, you know, friction in communication, things like that. Yeah. So that's the sun entering Gemini.
So is it true that if you put two Geminis in a room, you'll end up with eight opinions?
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair.
So what else is going on, Mr. Rob?
Yeah, so the ruler of Gemini is Mercury. And Mercury is in Gemini also until the end of this month. And then it moves into the sign of Cancer on August 4th, on May 29th, it enters Cancer. And so this whole next week until the end of May, both Sun and Mercury are in Gemini. And it's sort of, you know, it's just a lot of Gemini energy. And there's more Gemini. There's Venus is retrograde in Gemini. There's a lot of this sort of mental stimulation and opportunities to observe. And we'll get into all the retrogrades that are occurring right now, which is a big deal. But, you know, for the rest of this month, there's just a lot of excuse me? Maybe there's
I didn't say anything. Keep going. Yep.
Maybe there's feedback. So, yeah, just a lot of information in sort of the airwaves, a lot of conversations, communications. That's a big theme for the next month, but especially for the next week. And then Mercury moves into Cancer on May 29th, and it'll be there until August 4th. And when Mercury's in Cancer, communications can be a bit more emotional. It's times where sometimes we can take things a bit more personal. We can clam up a bit, maybe, you know, being a bit moody and things like that. Just emotions can be intertwined with those communications we're having with others. So that's just something to be aware of during that time. And it's a time to be gentle with yourself and with others with regards to communication and the possibility of overreacting. But it's a time that supports nurturing types of communication and expressing those, you know, sort of the nurturing sides of communication. So that's Mercury. And Mercury does go retrograde in June. It's sort of a month from now. I think it was June 17th. So we'll talk about that more next you know, next month during that time. But that's just sort of a heads up that Mercury is going to be going retrograde in about a month. But speaking of retrogrades, there's a bunch of planets in retrograde right now. Venus, which only goes retrograde once every two years, and that's in Gemini. For the next, that went retrograde. Let me look at my notes. Sorry, I'm Venus went retrograde May 13th, and it'll be retrograde till June 25th. Jupiter's retrograde, Saturn's retrograde, and Pluto is also retrograde. And so when a planet is retrograde, it's a time for reassessing and reevaluating, and there's readjustments occurring in those areas of life. And so it's about sort of like peeling off layers of the onion. And it's a time in which larger forces, so to speak, can help guide us. And oftentimes it's outside of our control. It's sort of like the, you know, the unseen hand of the universe saying, hey, you know, remember this thing. And, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It's just that there's sort of oftentimes it's thought as sort of larger forces are helping us along our journey.
So we're more likely to see the fickle finger of fate is what you're saying.
It's possible. And with Venus in retrograde, so sometimes that can bring up, you know, with areas of relationship, Venus relationship, giving, receiving the love and nurturing, and also the things that we value. So with Jupiter, we'll speak a bit more about Venus in a second, but with Jupiter, it's about what's our abundance in our life, and also beliefs and faith. And then with Saturn retrograde, it's about our self-discipline, re-looking at sort of areas in our self-discipline and authority in our lives. And with Pluto, we have the opportunity to look at our subconscious and compulsive patterns. I'm getting some feedback. I don't know if you can hear that on the show, but.
Yeah, I'm hearing the feedback, and I'm making sure I mute while you're talking, so I'm not sure where the feedback is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, the feedback is not there anymore. So I'll just keep going. I don't know if Dr. Kevin's there, what's going on there, but
I'm here.
So
go ahead.
Okay. All right, great. So it's really important. It's a great time to sort of slow down and notice and observe what's occurring in our life in these areas, in areas of relationship, in areas of our abundance in our life, even our own beliefs with Jupiter, self-discipline, self-respect, and also our sort of subconscious patterns. So it's a great time to slow down, observe, and notice what's occurring in those areas. And so Venus is retrograde in Gemini, which occurs, like I said, once every 2 years, and it lasts for about a month and a half. It's very infrequent that it does go retrograde, and it's retrograde now until June 25th. And so Venus retrograde, it's a great time to sort of reconnect within and getting in touch with what holds the most meaning and value for you. You know, are you getting your needs met in relationship? You know, we're coming out of quarantine, and clearly, you know, with relationships, it certainly puts stress on relationships in general, with sort of this difficulty we're moving through. And with Venus retrograde, it's a great time to sort of look at what's coming up, where are the areas of friction, and, you know, work with those. And again, with the Gemini theme, it's about observation, communication. And Gemini can be very sort of independent. And so, you know, noticing what adjustments are needed in those areas and working with them in a sort of positive way. And it's a time where it's good to be mindful of any sort of overly mental approach that we have in love and in relationship because of the Gemini themes. So that's Venus retrograde in Gemini, just sort of a quick, brief explanation. Do you have any questions about the Venus retrograde?
Lori?
No, I think you explained it very well.
Yep. No, okay. I don't have any questions. Lori, stop thinking so much. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. Okay, so then there's Jupiter. Jupiter's retrograde in Capricorn, and that went retrograde May 14th until September 13th, so it's about 4 months. And it's a time to reconnect and realign with your inner compass. Jupiter is often represents our sort of abundance in our life, you know, the blessings, but also our own belief system in which is our inner compass. And so it's a great time to rediscover that sort of the source within, to connect with the center of your being, and, you know, have faith and trust that, you know, this journey that we're all on and this difficulty in life is unfolding in a way in which we're given opportunities to grow and evolve. And a lot of times, unfortunately, that involves challenges and difficulties, but to see it, you know, to see it as, okay, what is this class teaching me right now? And how do I best navigate this with my inner knowing and my inner compass? Saturn is also retrograde, and it went retrograde May 11th, and it will be so through September 29th. And this is really interesting because all these planets are sort of going retrograde at the time in which quarantine is, you know, coming to a change. You know, I don't know where exactly all the states are with regards to that, but there's sort of talk about reopening, partial reopening, and a phased reopening with life. And so, you know, as Saturn goes retrograde, it's funny because Saturn does represent sort of restriction in our life. It represents sort of this earth material world. You know, if we were simply souls flying around this world, it wouldn't necessarily be very difficult because we'd just be here, we'd be there, be fine. But we have to deal with gravity. We have to feed our bodies. We have to take care of these sort of the difficulties of this three-dimensional material world. And Saturn represents that. And when Saturn goes retrograde, we sort of have opportunities to see, you know, to reflect on sort of the structures in our life. A lot of times it's job or career, but it's a time when we throw away some of those restrictions in our life. And again, it's funny that, so here we are, quarantine's ending, and we slow, you know, in a progressed manner, but it's coinciding with this Saturn retrograde. So it's, you know, it's a good time to sort of, you know, slowly reintegrate in a safe way with this, you know, society coming out of its shell in a safe way. You know, that's a whole nother topic, but sometimes
now, what
Saturn
is Saturn in? What is Saturn?
Saturn's in Aquarius. It's in Aquarius.
Okay, good.
So it's even more rebellious. You know, I mean, Aquarius is sort of, you know, it's for it's very humanitarian. But there's also rebellion with Aquarius. There's a lot of those themes are playing out here.
So I have to ask this question, which is, we have this. So almost all 50 states are open to some level. They're all having different things. There are some that are wide open and are already starting to see an increase in COVID. There are some that are opening up in stages, but as of this weekend, all 50 states are open to some level. And we have this rebellious Saturn in retrograde, and I always think of Saturn as the teacher planet. You know, it's there, it teaches us things. It's our lessons. It's our lessons about being in life. And so how much of how people handle this freedom responsibly or irresponsibly will come back to either reward or bite us when Saturn goes direct?
Well, that's a good question. I wish there was a clear answer to that. You know, the simple answer is I don't know, but it's a time where it's sort of readjusting in those areas. It's a time where like the pressure is a little relieved, you know, it's time for reflection, reassessment, reevaluation. And so, you know, there's sort of a you know, it's a time where one can sort of see things in a different way, reflect, and make changes so that, you know, when Saturn goes direct again, September 29th, sort of, you know, some of the Saturnian themes of some of those challenges can be there again. And so being able to work with that in a more positive way. But it affects everybody in a different way. And we'll get into that a little bit later on.
Well, that's the time we're coming after our first break. When we come back, Rob is going to finish planetary influences, and then he's going to add a little Spanish flair to the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. This week we're doing planetary influences with our astrologer Rob Stewart from innercenter.org and Lori Powers Otto, my on-again, off-again co-hostess with the mostest. And we're just getting into the rest of what's coming up astrologically. Rob!
All right.
Where'd you leave us cliffhanging?
Right. So we left off on the Saturn retrograde, and you know, the other planet in retrograde right now is Pluto. Pluto went retrograde April 25th, and it'll go direct on October 4th. And so Pluto, basically Pluto is looking at and dredging up our old and sort of compulsive subconscious patterns. You know, we all have these sort of security patterns that we go to sort of find safety in the world. And Pluto often is sort of dredging those up and forcing us to change and transform and let go of those old sort of compulsive subconscious patterns. And when Pluto goes retrograde, it brings some relief in terms of it's sort of, again, it's a time for reanalysis, reassessing, and there's sort of a time to sort of reorient oneself with the challenges going on. And so it brings excavation, when it's direct, and when it's going retrograde, there's just a time for redoing things, seeing it in a different way. And so, you know, with that, and what we'll sort of speak about this a little bit, but, you know, in your own chart, you can look at 22 to 24 degrees Capricorn in your own chart. And that's an area where this Pluto and Saturn conjunction earlier this year occurred. And that was a big deal. We've talked about that in other shows. But wherever 22 to 24 degrees Capricorn is in your chart, that's a place where this deep transformation is occurring. And we can get into that a bit later. But with Pluto retrograde, it sort of gives us this time to sort of reassess, to change our approach, and to work in a more positive way with those sort of old patterns. And, you know, there's some important dates here with regards to, my opinion, with regards to this coronavirus stuff that we're moving through. Last show, it was a month ago, the last planetary show, we talked about the coronavirus and its birth chart from this perspective. And it was right around the time of the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. And Pluto became conjunct with Jupiter on April 4th, and it's going to make two more conjunctions with Jupiter later this year. And so those are periods of times that perhaps, you know, maybe, you know, it sort of can magnify the effects of Pluto, this deep transformation that we're going through as a collective. And so the second Pluto-Jupiter conjunction is June 29th. And then the third one is November 12th. And again, I'm sort of correlating the Pluto-Jupiter conjunction with potential sort of, you know, reemergences of this crisis that we're moving through. The third conjunction, like I said, is on November 12th, just in time for election, of course. You know, these are things just to keep in mind with everything that we're moving through here. So that's Pluto. We'll talk a bit more about Pluto as we talk about the Spanish flu and the COVID stuff. So there's also a new moon, which is tomorrow, May 22nd in Gemini. And new moons, it marks a new beginning. And it's in Gemini, so it's a great time for sort of bringing new curiosity, new ways of communicating, you know, observing and sort of taking in information in a new way and communicating in new ways that really support these changes that are occurring in these retrogrades. You know, the time to reassess what's going on, to take a new look at, you know, at your own life and what's occurring in your life. And again, this sort of marks again with this sort of the break in quarantine. So this sort of new moon, it's this new, new beginning, you know, and, you know, this world is sort of coming out from this quarantine and there's a lot of uncertainty in all areas of life. But it's a new beginning in terms of the new moon. And it's, you know, new moons are considered a fresh slate. It's a great time to make intentions. And it's a great time for, again, with these looking at changes, looking at the changes in our relationships, with regards to our own self-discipline, things like that. It's a great time for reassessing all that.
And great.
And it makes a square to Mars and Pisces, this new moon. So there could be some friction that associated with this. You know, I don't have to say there's going to be friction. You know, clearly we're in this really challenging time in the world right now. So of course, you know, this moon is squaring Mars and Pisces. But there can be sort of friction in communication. There can be sort of heightened emotions, and you know, just sort of it's emotional period of time. And so just be aware of those types of dynamics.
Okay. Anything else from the planetary influence things you want to share about this upcoming time period with our listeners?
Yeah, just one more thing. So there's a full moon June 5th in Sagittarius. It's a lunar eclipse. Full moons are about culminations. And eclipses bring sort of powerful changes that can be abrupt or sudden. And they sort of, you know, that area of life at around 15 degrees Sagittarius is sort of emphasized for the next 6 months. And it can bring, you know, again, it can bring times of looking at old emotional patterns and letting them go. It's about, you know, full moons are about the letting go of that. And so just notice any of the sort of emotional patterns that are coming up around the June 5th period of time. They could represent these sort of old emotional patterns. And again, it's a great time to sort of reassess, reevaluate, let go. And, you know, there might be some conflicts related to logic versus intuition. Of course, the moon is opposed to the sun. And so it's a great time to sort of release frustration and anger, because it is the moon on the full moon is also square Mars. And so there can be a lot of anger and frustration and sort of impulsiveness that's occurring with this full moon. So it's a great time to, you know, do your exercise. Do whatever sort of you do to release anger, frustration, things like that. So those emotions can be there, and just to work with them. And it's about releasing them with a full moon, and release what no longer serves. And yeah, so that's a full moon, June 5th. It's a lunar eclipse.
Great. So now in our last show, we talked about COVID and some of the astrological chart of COVID and why it's here, and even some crossover between that and our last big pandemic, which was the Spanish-American flu. We're picking up that conversation with Rob, but I do want to remind listeners, 202-570-7057, that's 202-570-7057, is our call-in number. So if you have any questions for Rob or Lori or I, please feel free to call in here at the Dr. Kevin Show. So, Rob, you wanted to start chronologically, right? You're going to tell us a little bit about the Spanish flu and what was going on then?
Yeah, we'll start with the Spanish flu. You know, so last show, about a month ago, we talked quite at length about the COVID-19 sort of birth chart, so to speak. And so we'll talk a bit about that, but I'll start with the Spanish flu. And so, in astrology, I take an evolutionary perspective in astrology. And so, you know, just as the physical world evolves and changes and adapts, so too, from this perspective, does the soul. And so as we incarnate here, we are sort of our soul, as from this perspective, again, is transforming and evolving through the experiences that we sort of bring towards us to grow, to evolve, and to transform, and to let go of old patterns that don't work. And so so this evolutionary perspective is based on the premise that as we incarnate, this sort of birth chart there represents the sort of soul journey at the moment of birth, and represents sort of what sort of some of the themes that we can grow, evolve, and transform with. And so the whole topic of the evolutionary astrology was formulated by a guy named Jeffrey Wolf Green, as well as Stephen Forrest, and they each have sort of different perspective, but there's tremendous similarities between the two, and I recommend people to check them out. It's really fantastic stuff. But so evolution occurs in many ways. It can occur very slow and progressive in our life, and it can also occur as like cataclysmic change. And most of our life is this slow, progressive evolution, but once in a while there's these big events. And the event that we're in, this COVID-19 pandemic, certainly is exactly that. And when that occurs, it occurs on these global scales, and it gives opportunities for us to transform in many different areas of life, because it affects people in many different ways, from, you know, the worst possible case, you know, that's going on, and to more subtle ways. But it's the type of thing where everyone is affected in some way. And I want to be clear that when we talk about sort of the astrology of a pandemic and things like that, we're simply talking about metaphors and archetypes and myths. You know, this is, I just want to be absolutely clear that this is not a medical discussion by any stretch of the imagination. This is simply talking in metaphors and energies and themes. So I just want to make that absolutely clear. And this is my take of the sort of the Spanish flu and the COVID-19. And I encourage people to look at other astrological takes of these, because there's many of them, and everyone brings a different perspective to the topic. And so with the Spanish flu, so the birth chart, the sort of the birth date that I used for that was April 5th, 1918. And that was the first documentation of it in Haskell, Kansas. I believe it was at a military base of a soldier there in Haskell, Kansas. And Pluto is the central story of this evolutionary perspective. And it's what we look at to understand sort of what the purpose was, sort of what this is bringing up for us to work through and work with. And so wherever Pluto is found in the natal chart represents sort of an empowerment journey that involves themes of like feeling empowered, but also times of feeling very disempowered. And it's about transforming old subconscious patterns and letting go of what doesn't work. And so so for the Spanish flu, Pluto was in the sign of Cancer. And so we look at the Pluto, we look at where Pluto is. We don't have a house because we don't have a time for this epidemic, but we can relate it to our own chart if we're looking at in relationship to our own natal chart. But we also look at this aspects that Pluto makes with other planets. And so for the Spanish flu, Pluto was in the sign of Cancer, which brought challenges and transformation in the areas of home, of family, a sense of belonging, one's foundations, and sort of, and even patriotism. Because of course, in 1918, it was just a year into the U.S.'s involvement of World War I. So there's a lot going on a global scale. And with Pluto and Cancer, there was likely a sense of loss of security, a lack of stability, a lot of fears related to being alone, not being able to find one's own tribe, you know, getting the nurturing that one needs in life, maybe feelings of rejection, and even control dynamics in family. So these are the types of themes that astrologically the Spanish flu was bringing up for people to work with and to work through. And so, you know, people might have been thinking, you know, I need to be connected. I need to feel safe. You know, there's just a lot of challenges related to that feeling, that idea of feeling safe. You know, obviously that sounds pretty simple on the surface, but the astrology points that this was a very, very deep theme at that time. And it sort of brought lessons that to find security within, you know, in one's own being. Maybe people were trying to find that safety and emotional security in their parents or their family, their jobs, the home, or even the country. And this was sort of forcing people to find that inner stability in their own being, which is, of course, very difficult at times, if not most of the time in this earth that we're in. But it's, people are forced to meet the needs of their inner child and dealing with the challenges of doing that. And so,
And we'll be right back for more on the Spanish flu, and then we're gonna move into the astrology of the COVID here on the Dr. Kevin Show, and we'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please. 911, what is your emergency? 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. On this, our Planetary Influences Week, we have with us Rob Stewart from innercenter.org, who is now talking to us about the astrology of the Spanish flu and of our current pandemic of COVID. If you have any questions or thoughts you'd like to share, please feel free to call us at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So, Rob, continue.
All right. So, yeah, we'll sort of finish with the Spanish flu, but there's some interesting themes here with that, and there's some commonalities with today. So the Spanish flu would bring up power struggles and challenges within home, you know, finding that nurturing and all those things. And also it brought up sort of challenges with regards to where they look for guidance and information. Pluto was square the asteroid Arjun Suri and Nessus, which were both in Aries. And so there's an astrologer, Tom Jacobs, he speaks about a number of these asteroids in a really fantastic way. And Arjun Suri brings up themes of related where we go for information, you know, what, whose compass do we look at for guidance in our life? And Nessus is an asteroid that represents some manipulation and some persuasion and maybe some misrepresentation. And, you know, for some of the context of the Spanish flu in 1918, again, it was only a year into the U.S. involvement in World War I, and the media was being censored from discussing this epidemic because they wanted to keep morale really high. And so there was a Sedition Act of 1918, which made it illegal to print or publish disloyal or abusive language about the U.S. And so public officials were forced to lie about the scope and severity of what was going on. And this was believed to sort of significantly worsen the situation. So there was this, you know, challenge with information, you know, where do you go for information, that's those types of things. And the reason it was called the Spanish flu was not because it originated in Spain. It was named that because the Spanish media, Spain was a neutral country at that time. The Spanish media was actually reporting on the pandemic, whereas other countries were not. And that's why it was called the Spanish flu. And so, you know, the collective consciousness was sort of evolving through these themes of information, of different disinformation, how to filter, to find out, you know, where all of that going on in the midst of a world war, by the way. And Pluto was also square Chiron. Chiron was in Aries. And so people may have been very hesitant to take assertive action in their life. And today, for COVID-19, today, Chiron is also square Pluto in that chart. And so Today we have that same aspect, and it would sort of make sense in these types of very challenging times where people might be very sensitive as to, you know, what to say and to how to you know, how to move in life and where to assert oneself, where not to. You know, it brings up these themes, and there's no coincidences that Pluto is square Chiron in those areas. And so that's, you know, in general, that's the Spanish flu from this perspective. And what's interesting is that for COVID-19, it actually brings up the opposite issues in society for the collective consciousness. The Spanish flu brought up themes and challenges related to home and nurturing and, you know, trying to meet those needs and breaking through old patterns of trying to meet those needs. With COVID-19, Pluto's in Capricorn conjunct Saturn. And for those interested, in the last show last month, late April, we talked about COVID-19 sort of at length from this perspective. But so COVID-19 brings up challenges and empowerment journeys that's again opposite to that of the Spanish flu. The themes for COVID-19 are related to Capricorn, and that's related to our public persona, our role in society, how we can be very mature and realistic. It also brings up themes of restriction and, you know, the challenges of this physical world. It brings up issues of boundaries. Again, we're doing this quarantining. And, you know, it just brings some these sort of challenges of this physical world where we have to do things to, you know, we come up against limitations, and we have to work with those and work with them in a positive way. So COVID-19 brings up those challenges related to being responsible for one's own actions. There's, you know, depression is sort of a Capricorn theme, and clearly I don't know, but I'm assuming that depression can be sort of a big theme here in the world today, just with, you know, the loss of many jobs, the illness, all this different stuff that's going on. And so it can also bring up power struggles in the workplace, both, you know, due to business closures, but also sort of, you know, the sort of big power moves that can occur in this world where that's very kind of, we're in a challenging place. And so one with the astrological signature of COVID-19, one might feel powerless to create a place for themselves in the world. It can bring up themes of greed and power and things like that. And so, you know, it's basically asking us to be mature. It's asking us to be realistic and practical in our life. And it brings up themes of, you know, do the ends justify the means? You know, sometimes we can get so focused on the outcome, we forget the process and the, you know, the working with the process and the flow.
And the price of the process.
What's
because
that?
I said, and the price of the process.
Right.
You know, the whole end justifies its mean. I mean, you're saying that we're being asked to step up and be basically mature and adults. And I find it interesting because we have the most infantile president ever in all of U.S. history at the helm of the American COVID crisis. But we also have that you said it was a Pluto in Cancer, and World War I really thrust the U.S. on the stage as a world power much before it ever. I mean, it wasn't a world power until World War One, until that time of World War One. Now we have Pluto in Capricorn, and of course we have, you know, we're a Cancer. I mean, the U.S. July 4th is a Cancer. Yeah. So, you know, we had a Pluto Sun potential conjunction. I don't know because I don't know the degrees, but definitely Pluto conjuncting a sun is a major transformation in a personal astrology chart. I would think it would also be the same thing in the astrology chart for a country. Now we have just the opposite going on, that the Pluto in question is in opposition to the sun of the U.S. Have you looked at any of those, that aspect of it? Probably. I probably jumped the gun, right? Go ahead.
Well, it's fascinating because, I mean, the biggest sort of, you know, with the U.S.'s birth chart, July 4th, 1776, we're approaching the Pluto return. We're in the Pluto return. Pluto will make an exact return to its natal position in the chart next year, and it's approaching it now. And so this, you know, these Capricorn themes bring up tremendous challenges, both in our own life, but also geopolitically. And there are massive transformations occurring, great excavations, and it's related to power. It's related to authority and, you know, this sort of place in the world. And so, you know, this next couple years is certainly an interesting time. And it's just about, it's about transforming. There's great transformation underway in a big way. And to see how this affects in your own chart, you can look at 22 to 24 degrees Capricorn. And I actually gave a webinar a couple weeks ago on this, how you can relate it to your own chart. And that I hope to be able to post that on Facebook here sometime when it becomes available. But yeah, to look at 22 degrees to 24 degrees of Capricorn in your own chart, and based on the house that it's in, these are some of the themes that one can be, there's transformation occurring in those areas.
Yeah, well, make sure that you go back to the show write-up for this and post that link under the comments with a little thing when you have the link available for your webinar. Was there anything else that you wanted to highlight about the COVID Spanish flu connection?
I think we touched on, you know, the last show went into a lot more depth with the COVID-19. So I'd, you know, if people that are interested in that, they can check that out. But in general, you know, it just brings up a lot of sort of, you know, forcing oneself to be responsible for our own actions, to be mature and responsible. And it brings up power struggles. There can be power struggles in the work and the way that we're seen in the world. And, you know, in those areas, the sort of Capricorn 10th house themes are being brought up for the world right now because of this Capricorn conjunction of Pluto and Saturn.
Now, you had talked about how you could look at your own chart and do that, and you had said you were going to look at my chart and tell me where it was hitting me. Did you do that?
I actually did. Yeah. So, you know, we can spend just touch upon it really briefly. So, and again, people can follow along in their own chart, but for you, Dr. Kevin, it falls in your second house. And so the second house is about our value system, our skills, our money, our possessions. It's sort of the second house is about the whole spectrum and process from, you know, developing skills to really refining those skills and then to get to be paid for your skills in the world. And so when Pluto is in that house, of course, Pluto's in a sign for about 20 years. So it's a long process. But when it is conjunct Saturn, as it was this year, and in general these the past year and this year ahead, it brings up challenges and transformation that sort of might trigger sort of the survival instinct in your life. You know, I don't know exactly how it shows up, but it can bring up like inner conflicts between material wealth and spiritual wealth, maybe transformations in what you value in life. There could be, you know, I'm assuming with, you know, all this COVID, you know, the closings and all the rest, it's affect job and business. So that might be something that's been in your life based on that placement in your chart. It might bring up some fears related to what's next. But it's, you know, just remember that this is a transformation. It's help excavating those old things that aren't serving us. And it's asking us to let go and transform these older patterns that maybe we've ingrained. And so, again, like I said, maybe there's this transformation occurring in your value system, or maybe reevaluating your inner versus exterior resources. And, you know, there might be some empowerment journey that involves like living on your own terms. Like, hey, this is what's important to me. Maybe the universe is saying, or you're feeling that the universe is saying, no, you can't do that. Or maybe they're saying, yes, you should, but you don't want to. There might be themes in those areas that are being brought to the surface by all this. And maybe it's about finding new ways to convert your skills into money, into resources, and becoming more self-reliant. These are some of the themes that it brings up for you. It doesn't make any major aspects to planets in your chart. And so I looked at that. If it does make a major aspect to a planet, it can bring sort of, it sometimes can be felt more intensely, but this is being felt by everybody in a way, and affects us all in a different manner.
Well, I find it very interesting, and I suspect that Lori is smiling because of some of the conversations we've had, both on air and off air. Because, you know, I just came out of my Saturn return because my Saturn is in my natal Saturn is in Capricorn. Mm-hmm. So I just came out of my Saturn return, and I am definitely revamping that whole area of my life in a lot of ways. So Rob, we'll see you in a month with more planetary influences, and you get to peek and tell me what my upcoming year chart will look like, because we'll be in the time of Cancer. So besides planetary influences, you get to say, hey, let me explain what a solar return is. And I'm going to use Dr. Kevin's chart because he's having one. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Rob Stewart, innercenter.org. Make sure and get yourself an astrology.